Our scripture reading today comes to us from Matthew chapter 4, beginning of verse 18. Chapter 4. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Several years ago in England, London to be exact, the city was besieged with complaints about London's mass transit system. It seems that the city's buses tended to drive right on past the bus stops, even though there were people lined up, standing, waiting to be picked up. Well, people being people, they called us in. They called in to explain, called upon to explain their actions. The transit authorities released the following statement. It read, "It is impossible for us to maintain our schedules if we are always having to stop and pick up passengers." What's the matter with that sentence? They got their priorities confused, didn't they? They thought their job was to keep a schedule, when in reality their job was to pick up passengers and deliver them to their next destination. Because they got their priorities confused, they failed to do that for which they were created. What were you created to do? What did God have in mind when He saved you? Ephesians 2:10 says that when we were saved, we were created in Christ to do good works. Oh, good works that He had prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, God had something in mind for you to do when He saved you. He saved you to do good works that He had prepared ahead of time. Now, some people mistakenly believe that God's purpose in their lives is for them to come and fill a pew every Sunday morning. And that's all. And that's what they're satisfied doing. They have no intention of doing anything more. I was really pleased Saturday with the number of, well, I apologize in advance to any whom I may offend, old people that were there. And that process that we were in yesterday went the smoothest that I had witnessed it in the past. And it was because of the number of people who were willing to serve, even though they couldn't stand, and even though they couldn't run, and even though they couldn't lift. But I think everybody there found a job that they could do and did it well. But some people think that God's purpose in their lives is for them to come and fill a pew every Sunday morning, and that's what they do, and they're satisfied doing it. It reminds me of a poem I read once. "Once upon a pew I sat and heard the preacher ask, 'We need someone to teach a class. Now who will take this task?' Then God sat down beside me, and He said, 'Son, that's for you.' 'Oh, but Lord,' said I stand before, to stand before a class is one thing I cannot do. Now Bill would be a man to call. There's nothing that he won't do. I'd rather hear the lesson taught from here upon my pew.' Once upon a pew I sat and heard the preacher ask, 'We need someone to lead the songs. Now who will take that task?' Well, then God sat down beside me and said, 'Son, that's for you.' 'Oh, but Lord,' said I, 'to sing before a crowd is one thing I can't do. Now, Brother King will do the job. There's nothing that he won't do. I'd rather hear the music played from here upon my pew.' Once upon a time, I sat and heard the preacher ask, I need someone to keep the door. Now, who will take this task? Then God sat down beside me again and said, Son, that's for you. But I replied, saying things to strangers, Lord, is one thing I can't do. Now, Tom can talk to people, Lord. There's nothing that he won't do. I'd rather someone come to me and greet me on the pew. Well, as years just seemed to pass me by, I heard that voice no more. Until one night I closed my eyes and woke on heaven's shore. 'Twas four of us together there to face eternity. And God said, I need just three of you to do a job for me. Oh, Lord, I cried, I'll do the job. There's nothing I won't do. But Jesus said, I'm sorry, friend. In heaven, there's no pew. You see, it's possible for us to confuse our priorities. There are tasks to be done. And if you and I don't do them, they may not get done. Now, just like the schedule was important to the transit authority in London, so also going to church is important for us, but that's not our main priority. Our main priority should be to serve Jesus. Well, some might say, well, I'm too busy to serve God right now. And I can appreciate that concern. I've been on the other side of this pulpit. I've sat in a congregation. I've paid a house mortgage and tithed. I've worked 40-plus hours a week and volunteered in the church and other civic groups. I know how hard it is to do it all. And I'd be lying to you if I said I did it all when I was out there. But then there was never anybody pushing me, reminding me, convicting me. Donnie used to say, now, anytime he raises his hands or steps up to volunteer for something, you need to talk to me first. Part of the reason that she said that was she didn't want to be the one doing the work. But the other part of the reason was because I tend to overload myself. Now, Donna wasn't objecting to me being involved and busy. She just wanted to make sure that I didn't get burned out. We don't want to burn anybody out. We don't want to have a few good people doing everything in the church. But we do want everybody to be doing something in church. And being too busy with other things in life isn't really a good excuse. Back in 1985, a magazine had the following article written by a preacher. Recently, I approached a member of our church to help in one of our programs. Her reply was, I don't have time to give. And when I heard her say this, I thought of the following lines that he'd read somewhere. It said, God never goes to the lazy or to the idle when he needs people for his service. When he has work to be done, he goes to those who are already at work. When God wants a great servant, he calls a busy person. Moses was busy with his flock at Horeb. Gideon was busy threshing the wheat by the winepress. Saul was busy searching for his father's lost donkeys. David was busy caring for his father's sheep. Elisha was busy plowing the 12 yoke of oxen. Nehemiah was busy bearing the king's wine cup. Amos was busy following the flock. Matthew was collecting customs. And James and John and Peter and Andrew were out fishing and mending their nets. And why would God do that? Why would God pick on busy people? Because when you need work done, you need to find someone who knows how to work. You need to find someone who has shown that they can be responsible. My dad was a construction superintendent, and he used to say that when they needed extra workers, he hated to go downtown where the men were gathered and hanging out in the town square, and he also hated to go to the union office for those who were there waiting. He said, there's a reason those guys were hanging around down there. They were lazy. They didn't really want to work. Nobody really wanted to hire them because they didn't know how to work. See, God's looking for responsible workers. That's why Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with a little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. You see, there's a pattern of how God chooses and how he trains his people. Giving a little responsibility and then seeing how we handle it. Asking for us to have faith and serve and seeing how we do. Do we stay faithful? Do we keep serving? And then giving more and more tasks in accordance with our faithfulness and our abilities. You know, as we reread Matthew, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting their nets into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, he said, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once, they followed him. And at what point did they get too old or too busy to stop doing God's work? Until they died. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in the boat with their father preparing their nets. And Jesus called to them as well, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. Now, if you were reading only the Gospel of Matthew on this encounter, you'd think that that was the first time that Jesus had ever met Peter and Andrew and James and John. But as you read the other Gospels, you get a different, fuller picture, perhaps. The Gospel of John tells us that they had met sometime before this. Jesus had met at least Andrew and Peter in a different way. The next day, after Jesus had been baptized, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. And turning around, Jesus saw them following, and he asked, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, where are you staying? And Jesus said, come and you'll see. And so they went where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. And then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother and tell him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought his brother to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter, which means the rock. You see, Jesus didn't just pick 12 men and suddenly employ them as his disciples. In fact, the pattern, at least with Peter and Andrew, was gradual. He met with them. He called them. He prayed over his choice of them and as other followers. He worked with them for 3 years. And over those 3 years, he gave them increasingly difficult assignments until at last, at Pentecost, Jesus allowed them to lead and take care of his own most precious possession, the church. You see, that's how God works. As one person once said, God doesn't look at your ability, God looks at your availability. And if you're available, God can and God will do great things through you. The goal is to make ourselves available so that when God calls, we can respond. See, the purpose of this sermon is to get you to realize that your purpose as a Christian is not fulfilled by going to church and filling a pew. You can only fulfill God's goal for your life, God's goal for your life, when you begin to serve Jesus, when you continue to serve Jesus. And that may be in a Bible study class, or as a pew captain, as we intentionally try to bring back to church our congregation, or as a child care provider, or as a tither, or a prayer, or a shut-in visitor, And on the list of opportunities goes, opportunities to respond to Jesus calling you by name. You know that song, Cat in the Cradle? I've been trying to think all week. I think that's the name, and I can't think of who it was sung by. Cat Stevens. I knew somebody here would be smarter than me. If you heard the song, you remember how it goes. It tells the story of a dad who was too busy to spend any time with his son. Dad, let's play ball. And I guess this song, the idea sticks with me because it's so personal. No, can't play ball now, son. I'm too busy. I got work to do. And on goes that routine over the years. And even with that rejection and disappointment, the son thought his dad hung the sun and the moon. And he would say, I'm going to grow up to be like you, Dad. Just like you. And so many years go by, and the dad is in retirement now, and he's got time, and he realizes that he did miss his son growing up, and now he wants to spend time with him desperately, but now his son's too busy. Not now, Dad. I've got work to do. Will that be the way it is with our relationship with God? As we are too busy now to spend time doing with Him, might He be too busy in the future to invite us to spend eternity with Him? You never know what you can do for God until you are willing to wait upon Him and be used by Him. Give yourself to God in the small things of this life, and wait and watch as He does great things in your life and through your life. Hear God calling. Hear God calling you by name. And then respond to that call. Speak to me, Lord, for your servant is listening. Dear gracious God, give us patience to slow down. Give us patience to speed up. Give us ears to hear you calling us by name. Then give us energy and enthusiasm in speaking our reply, both in words and in actions. Help us this week to hear you calling us by name. And help us to respond. Speak, Lord. I'm listening. For we pray it in the name of Jesus and with His faith and with His obedience. Amen.